So I just want to pray so that the Lord just speaks through me this morning. My thoughts are everywhere, as Thelma said. So, Lord, we just thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful day, and we thank you that we have the privilege of gathering here in your presence this morning, Lord. And, Father, I just surrender my plan and my notes to you, and I ask you, Holy Spirit, to just speak through me, Lord. What it is you want to hear, what you want us to hear this morning, Lord. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to say we were just blessed last weekend to have a few days away for our anniversary. And 33 years with this wonderful man who loves me unconditionally for sure. If you ever want to see that, come spend a few hours with us, especially on a weeknight when I've come home from a stressful day. He has such grace, although I'm trying to learn not to bring that home. We got to get away, and what was really awesome is he planned the whole thing. And, if he had asked me to go, I would have said, I'm just way too busy. I can't get away. And it was hard. It's hard to get away. But what I got to do, what I committed to do, is just unplug from work, which is rare for me. And I got a few days where I just got to de-stress. And it was such a blessing. So thank you, John. And I just wanted to say that this morning because God is good. He knows what we need, and he shows up with it even when we're fighting the whole way. No, God, I don't have time for that. Yeah, you'll make time. Okay. So we have to get our priorities straight. So when a few weeks ago when I was asking the Lord what it is that I should speak on this morning, I heard two words, and those words were by faith. So it led me to, of course, our Hall of Faith chapter in Hebrews 11, and I'm going to really focus on one section of that, but I feel the Lord is just calling us to a greater level of faith. And I know that for myself, and even if you've been here and listening to the messages that have been coming forth, all the things we've been hearing are going to require us to have an increased level of faith. And we read in Luke 17:5, the disciples, they asked the Lord, Lord, increase my faith. God will increase our faith if we are asking him to increase our faith. Because without it, Scripture tells us, we can't please him. Without faith, we can't please him. And the first thing that popped into my head when he started speaking to me about by faith was, what are you listening to? The question, what are you listening to? And I immediately jumped to Noah in that book in Hebrews. And if we think about Noah, you could go back and read in Genesis. I don't have time to go through all of the scripture and get to know Noah and his plan if you don't know him already, know about him. But Noah was called to do some incredible thing in his day, and that was to build an ark because there was going to be a flood. And those are words that they did not understand in that day and age. They didn't understand what an ark was for. He wasn't even living in an area that was by a big body of water that you would float an ark in. Thank you, Hannah. I should have done that before I got up here. And I'm not quite sure, because I'm not a theologian, but I do not believe the earth had seen rain up until that point. It hadn't. So here is a man, an ordinary man, but what was different about Noah is if you read the scriptures, it said there was evil all around him, and that is why God was sending the flood. He was done with humanity. I'm over it. So I'm going to send this flood, but he found this one righteous man, and that was Noah. Noah knew God. Noah knew God, and God spoke to Noah, an ordinary man that knew him. We are ordinary people, men and women, and we know God, right? So God spoke to Noah and said, build this ark because I'm going to be destroying the world with this flood. The rain is going to come, the water is going to come up, and all humanity is going to be destroyed, except for you and your family and everybody you put in that ark. So let's look at it from Noah's perspective in that day. They had never heard of rain. He wasn't near a body of water. He had to build an ark. Now, it took 100 years to build that ark because he didn't have contractors helping him out. In fact, my assumption would be, Scripture doesn't tell us, but if you have a man building an ark in the middle of dry land because of a flood that's going to come by water from heaven and you had never heard of that before, would you not think the man was nuts? He was nuts. And I think about that today because I believe what God is calling us to in this season, as we make our declarations and believe in the power of that declaration, is we are going to be enlisted to do some things and say some things that the world is going to think is nuts, impossible, because we serve the God of the impossible. So Noah, for 100 years, he spent building an ark and being ridiculed by the evil that was around him. All the people were evil in mind and thought. That's what the scripture tells us. When you talk of the things of God out in the world, in the marketplace, sometimes you're ridiculed and, you know, people think we're foolish. They think we're foolish to have faith in a God they cannot see. And a God, what appears to be God, doesn't care. And Noah could have said the same thing. God, why should I listen to you? You don't seem to care. Everyone is evil. You can change this. So Noah, his wife, his family, they all withstood the criticism of the day. And I believe God is calling us to a place where we're going to live out our faith to the point of being criticized. We are already, but I believe it's going to get to a greater extreme. And I'm not here to make everybody sad. I'm here to encourage you in your faith. And I want you to leave here believing that you are just like the people in Hebrews 11. Read the scripture. Go home and read the whole chapter. We are these people. We are called to this type of faith, the faith that believes for the impossible. So let's read Hebrews 11, 1. It says in NIV, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." I'm going to read it in the Message. "The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. It's the act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd." Now, I'm sure Noah didn't feel that way when he was doing what the Lord said, but he was so set in his faith that God spoke, and I'm going to be obedient no matter what the cost. A couple of weeks ago, if you were here, the Lord just showed me the woman with the alabaster box and the ridicule she must have gone through because she took a whole year's wages and poured it out on Jesus' feet. And it would seem crazy. And she withstood what she was hearing and did what she knew was the right thing to do. And today we talk about her. Today we talk about Noah. They made an impact. That is what the ancients were commended for. That is what they are being remembered for, their faith. Are we going to be remembered for our faith? We may not be written in the Bible, but we can leave a legacy that your faith had impact on the people around you. Because we believed the impossible no matter what we saw. Because when God spoke, we said, "Yes, God, I don't care what the cost is." You know, what this scripture is saying is that faith is the confidence in something we have not seen. So, faith isn't about what we see happening. That's fact. That's the fact. This is what's happening. Our faith means we are believing for something we cannot yet see. Faith is what moves God. Faith is the currency of heaven. So let's think about that. If we have money, right? We have money. Money is paper and metal. Basically, that's what it is, right? And if we take that paper and metal and we hoard it away in our house in jars and our mattress or wherever we put it, and we never spend any of it, we may have a fortune, but we're living like we're poor. So when we accept the Lord, which is your first step of faith, right? But we never use that currency again. We are living as children of God, but we're living like we're poor when the scripture says that we are to live abundant lives, full of joy, with every provision, overflowing, more than enough to give into the kingdom of God. So how do we access that? Faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. If we just tuck our faith away and we don't use it anymore, then we're not living the life that we were called to. It's same as the money. If we tuck our money away and we never spend it, then we're living like we're poor when we're rich, when we have something. So we need to take that faith and combine it with our belief in God, and that is what brings us access to everything that is in heaven. You know, God loves it when we dare to trust him. When Noah dared to trust him, when Joshua marched around the walls and dared to trust God that those walls would come down. My gosh, let's think about that. You know, I was so blessed to be in Israel, and we're at the city walls of Jerusalem, and they're thick and wide. They're not like the wall over there at Dickinson. They're huge. What kind of faith does it take to believe that those walls are going to come tumbling down? I mean, this is the kind of faith God is calling us to. That will march around those walls 7 times and they will come tumbling down. That's the faith he's... When we dare to trust what God says, he loves that. That like gets him so excited because he wants to bear witness to our faith. So how does he do that? He shows up. He shows up and he does impossible things. He meets our declarations. We heard from Ruth, I think last week or the week before, when she was talking about how we are in a season of declarations. We need to be declaring God's will into the earth and we will see it happen. How does that happen? By faith. It's by faith. We don't see it right now. We don't see our city transformed and reformed. We don't see it. But we believe it. We see it spiritually and we declare it by faith and we expect it to happen. Because when we do that, God shows up. He changes hearts, he changes families, he changes cities, he changes nations. Are you believing for someone in your family? Are you believing for transformation for your family? Well, then start declaring it. Use your faith. You know, sometimes we get caught up in, well, I've been believing God for this, 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 and this. And believe me, I've been there. I've been there, especially when, someone's sick and we're believing for healing. And we need to believe for healing, always need to believe for healing. And when I was young, I went through this with both of my parents, but specifically my father. So my dad, one day I come home, my dad is not well, take him to the hospital. 1 month later, he's gone. That whole time, I was believing for his healing, and it didn't happen. And I'm not going to say it didn't set me back. It set me back. I was young. I didn't know what I know today. And today I know that regardless of what happens, I have to have faith for the healing. He's healed and whole now, but my plan is you're going to heal him. He's coming home because I need my dad. I need my dad. But that's not what happened. But what came out of it, and you know, God's been so good about, you see, we always have to see what God is doing in the big picture. And at the time, of course, I did not see that. But over the years, he has allowed me to see and hear from people the impact that me and my two sisters, we were three, I was 30, they were younger, but the incredible impact that our faith in that situation had on our unsaved family. So we think, and if you would have said that to me 23 years ago, I would have said, that's crazy, because I'm like devastated, right? So I'm thinking, where's my faith? But people see how we react and how we respond in difficult situations. And at that time, my uncle, my father's brother, who lived in Texas, had come up to spend time with my dad. And this all started to transpire while he was visiting. And he decided he was going to stay until my dad was well, so he could help me and my sisters. And he stayed with us. And it was a little bit of almost like an annoyance to us, because it was just somebody else we had to worry about while we were dealing with my dad. But God had a greater plan. And I honestly didn't even know what was happening until years later, when I was speaking to his daughter on the phone over another family issue. I don't see them much. They all live in Texas. They still do. He has passed. When he died, after he died, she called me and she said to me, my father was never the same when he returned. And it was because of you and your sisters and the way you lived out your life. He was never the same. Now, today, my cousins who did not know the Lord, his two daughters, are saved and serving the Lord. And their children, all of their children, are active in their churches. One's a pastor. And, you know, you don't know. And I'm not saying this is because of us. God was doing a lot. I had been praying for my uncle for years, my father's family. But you have no idea, when you live out your faith and believe for the impossible. The fact that we were believing for his healing up until the very last moment impacted him so much that he said, there must be a God. There must be God. I see my nieces and what they're doing and how they're responding. There has to be a God. And he brought that back to Texas. He never went to church, ever. I believe he's with the Lord, because of the impact we had on him. But his whole family now is saved. And that to me is incredible. It's an incredible thing. When we trust the Lord for what he says, when we walk our faith out, no matter what difficult thing's happening, he is always doing something in the background that we may not see at the moment. And I've learned to ask him, Lord, what are you doing here? Because this is crazy. What are you doing here? None of this is in my notes, by the way. I don't know where I am. Okay. So do we dare today to practice outrageous faith? That's how I feel it is. It's outrageous faith. It's like believing God for crazy things. God, because he said it. Because he said it. So our first thing is, we have to press in to what God is saying in the situation we're in. We're all in difficult situations. I know. I talk to a lot of you. I know. I am too. There are difficult things happening in my life today. And what is my response to that? My response is, God, what are you doing here? Show me what to believe for. What is it that I need to have faith to see happen? Now, we could take the promises from Scripture, or we could get direct personal responses that we, promises from Scripture, promises from the Lord that we can hold on to and believe for. How do we do it in this faithless world? Noah did it, right? It's really easy to have faith when we're gathered here on Sunday morning. It's really easy to have faith when we're hanging out with our church friends and other believers. It is difficult to have faith when you are in a place where no one has faith. When things are going sideways. And we know that God has a solution. We know that he has a plan, and we have to believe for it. We have to speak it. We can't get caught up in the negativity and the sound. What are we listening to? Are we listening to what the people are saying around us that is faithless? Or are we listening to the Lord who is rooting us on? who is standing saying, come on, I know you can do it. We have to surround ourselves with people that encourage us, that have faith to bring us up to another level. We will never go to the next level in faith unless we surround ourselves with people that have faith. Now, you still need to go to work. You still need to be in the world. I know I do. You still need to go to school. But whenever I can, I am filling my mind and spirit with the word of the Lord that my faith will be strengthened so that when I'm in those situations, I can continue to declare who he is and what he wants to accomplish. Let's just read about Noah. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. He was warned about something he could not see, and he acted on what he was told. That's what we're called to do. We are called to act on something we cannot see. But we're told by the Lord it's true and it will happen. That's a fact to me. When faith becomes a fact, even though we can't see it, it's the truth. Sometimes we're not living in the truth, but that is the truth. So that's what we need to believe, the truth, even when we're not living in it. Because he did that, the result was his family was saved. His act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the rightness of the believing world. And as a result, Noah became intimate with God. That's what it says in Hebrews 11:7. So because of his faithfulness, scripture tells us when we are faithful, our whole household will be saved. Noah's whole household was saved because of this one man's faithfulness. Are you believing for your household to be saved? Well, let's get some outrageous faith stirred up in us, because if we do, we're going to see our family, our whole family saved, and it will draw a sharp line. And sometimes that's what needs to happen. There's so much gray in the world right now. We need that sharp line of truth and evil, right and wrong. So when we have that kind of faith, that line is automatically drawn. That's what it's saying here. His act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the rightness of the believing world. We are in a season where we need to see this, right? We're hearing so much on TV. We are hearing from the media. We're hearing from people. Like, wherever you go, I feel like I'm in the middle of chaos with all that's coming at us from the world. And I imagine Noah felt the same way. Scripture tells us he was the only righteous man. I can't even fathom that. I can't fathom not having people to gather with and share my faith with and have encourage me when I'm down. That's what fellowship is about. Noah didn't have it. He had to believe regardless of everybody else, of what he was hearing. Faith sees what others do not see. No one saw what Noah saw, and he only saw it by faith. He didn't see it in the natural. What evidence did Noah have when God asked him to build an ark? Did he have any facts that would lead to the reason he would be having to build this big ark? Not one. Not one. Noah had never seen a flood or rain. He lived far from any body of water. He only knew the character of God. Because he knew God, he knew God's character, and does God ever lie? No. So he, by faith, for 100 years, I'm thinking, oh my God, I have a hard time having faith for a week. Right? 5 years, I'm praying for this person. 10 years, I'm praying for this person. 30 years, I'm praying. Noah's 100 years. 100 years believing something no one else or him could see. He trusted him, and by faith, he began to make practical preparations for something he had not yet seen. That's really cool. Noah didn't sit on a rock waiting around for someone to join him, for someone to confirm it to him. Many times God speaks something to me. I'm like, okay, God, I need 3 confirmations. It'd be nice if an angel would show up and speak it directly to me, because this is crazy, right? So when I always go back to the move we made from Karlstad to Jersey City or Belleville Church, to this church. And it was a crazy time in our life. And, you know, I would have liked to said, God, and I did. Honestly, I did. I'm not going to not gonna lie. I didn't have faith for it the first time. But I knew there was a pulling in my heart. We know when God speaks unto us, there's something in your spirit that knows. But we resist because it's hard, because it's different, because it's unknown. What if Abraham had said no to God when he said, get up and move your whole family? Okay, God, where are we going? I'm not telling you where we're going. Just be obedient. I knew where I was going, and I still had a problem with it at first, right? And so I'm like, okay, God, I need confirmations. And, you know, sometimes he's faithful to give those confirmations. But sometimes he asks us to be like Noah. Sometimes he says, just be obedient. So, you know, when you're moving, when God's asked you to do something big, sometimes he gives us confirmations. Sometimes he asks us for blind faith. Well, not blind, but faith that just believes him. Faith is not passive. Like I said, Noah started doing practical things to prepare, to build the ark that God had spoken to him. And God gave him the directions for building the ark. So sometimes he gives us a little glimpse of the plan, but not the whole thing. A lot of times he asks us to take that first step before he gives us anything else. Like he did with Noah. I'm not telling you anything until you start moving. Sometimes he tells us, I'm not telling you anything else until you start moving. Start moving. What's the practical in what he's promised you? What's the practical? I know I have some promises that I'm praying into and believing for right now. And I know I have to do things in order to accomplish them because one of two things could happen. If I'm not prepared, they may never happen. It just may never happen. It's a possibility, but if I don't start moving in faith and doing practical things to prepare myself for what's coming, it may never come. Or worse yet, the opportunity may come and I'm not ready. So faith is not something that sits back and waits. Like we just spoke about Jeremy and Paula getting married this weekend. Marriage is an act of faith. We are having faith in God that we are to be with this person and that we're going to be able to build a life together. It's kind of scary. I think back to when I got married, right? It was scary. I was leaving my home where I was comfortable. I had enough faith to be comfortable in my home with my mom and my dad. And, you know, if I failed, they were there. Now I'm on my own with a man I kind of know, right? You kind of know each other. You really get to know each other when you get married, right? Because now you see all the little things of life, you know, that we do differently. But God, I will share a little testimony on this. I was just talking about it, so it's on my mind. When I met John, the day I met John, I knew I was going to marry him. So I went home that day, and I said to my best friend and my family, I met the man I'm going to marry today. Now, I know it doesn't always happen that way, but I had a knowing in my spirit that couldn't be shaken. So I'm going to share something, John. I don't know if you remember it, but 2 days before our wedding, because we were listening to outside voices, okay? So I just want to say, be careful what you're listening to, right? So we're listening to outside voices that are now impacting us, and we have the biggest fight we had ever had 2 days before the wedding. So I go in the house. We were in the car. I go in the house, and I'm like, Dad! You know, right to Dad. I'm bawling my eyes out. I don't know what to do. I don't know. And immediately my father says, you don't have to marry him if you don't want to marry him. Decide right now. And it just snapped me right back to, I know this is the man for me. Now, I could have listened to all the voices around us. It was all over petty wedding stuff, right? And I could have listened to my dad, who was trying to give me the best advice he thought in the moment for me. But I had to listen to the Lord, who had spoken to me 1.5 years before and said, that's the man you're going to marry. So we have to be careful what we're listening to, because I had to have a lot of faith to marry him after that fight, right? I had a lot of faith. We had to have a lot of faith to stay together in the first several years, because it's not easy, right? So what was my point? Faith, right? Outrageous faith, right? But be careful what you listen to. Thank you very much. So, again, Noah could have stopped building that ark. I can't imagine a whole year on a project. I'm working on some chairs. I'm working on them for like 6 months. I'm trying to paint them and fix them. And I'm like dragging through it now because it's 6 months, you know? Can you imagine 100 years working on that same project with naysayers all around you? It had to be crazy. Crazy, crazy. So God honors our faith. He says to us, show me the little you have, and I will show you a lot. It's just like the mustard seed. That little tiny mustard seed grows into this tremendous tree. Because when we take that little bit of faith we have and we give it to God, then he responds to us and increases our faith to an unmeasurable place. The amount of faith we can have is unlimitless. It depends on us if we're going to pursue it or not. So Abraham packed up, moved his whole family, not knowing where he was going. He then offered his only son as a sacrifice because God told him to do it. He prepared to do it by faith. How do you do that? God promised him he's going to be the father of many nations, finally gives him a son, and then tells him, go sacrifice Isaac. And he goes. I don't think I would go. He goes in faith. He goes because he's believing. I know my God. He said I'm going to be the father of nations. I'm going to do what he says because he could raise Isaac from the dead. He could provide another sacrifice. He can do something. I know he can. And that's the kind of faith God wants us to have. Move in obedience, believing him for the outcome, even when it seems crazy. Outrageous faith. Abraham did become the father of many nations, but he really didn't live to see it. Do we have that kind of faith that we can pursue something for our family? My uncle didn't live to see his family saved and serving the Lord. Can we believe for something for our family, our generation, our city that we may never see? Can we believe for that? Can we have faith for it? Can we do something that will impact the next generation and the next generation? That's how I want to live. I don't want to live about me. I want to live about who's to come. That they'll say, by faith, Sue did this. By faith, David did this. By faith, Lisa did this. By faith, we did it. There'll be something to talk about, a legacy left because our faith was so outrageous. Faith moves us to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. It dares us to dream beyond our means. What are you being moved to do by faith today? Anything? If you can't answer that question today, I say pursue God. There is something. He never has us sitting still for long. He always wants us moving forward. He always wants our faith increasing. He always wants our impact increasing. It's not a feeling. Don't wait around to feel faith. It's not a feeling. It is a conscious choice to believe what God has said. If Noah waited to feel like building this ark, I don't think it ever would have happened. If Joshua waited to feel like marching around those walls for 7 days straight, exhausting, trust me, in the heat, and it's a long way around. It's not based in feelings. Faith is not based in feelings. It's a decision. Are we going to be commended for our faith? I think deep down, some of us, I know I did for a long time, feel like this life of faith that we read about in Hebrews 11 is only for certain special people, and it's not. We qualify, each and every one of us. If you read that chapter, it says they were ordinary men and women, and we are ordinary men and women today. Are you all ordinary? Yeah. I'm ordinary. So I believe our names could be added to the Hall of Faith, that by faith we will accomplish things. You know, I read a few quotes when I was preparing for this, and I just want to share them with you. In closing, faith is taking the first step even when you can't see the staircase. Martin Luther King Jr. said that. Faith is more powerful than government, and nothing is more powerful than God. Our president said that. God never gives you a dream that matches your budget. He is not checking your bank account. He is checking your faith. I don't know who said that. It was anonymous. But that is so good, because so often we say, but God, I don't have the money to do that. But God, I have a job. How do I give up my job to do that? If God has given you a promise and he has given you a vision, then he has the way to get there. He's not worried about the negative balance in your checking account or the little tiny savings account. All he cares about is the account of your faith. How big is your faith? Can you believe me for it? He owns everything. He is the provider. He has what we need. You know, we are going to face disappointment in life. Things are not going to go the way we plan. Because I know for myself, when I feel like there's something I should be doing, I get a plan ready. I love to write a plan down. Here's the plan. This will happen. This will be next. I will do this. Then I'll do that. And it'll all work out in the end. And let me tell you how many times my plan has worked out. I do these notes. I come here every time I speak. They never work out. God has a different plan. It's okay that we plan, because we will never do the practical like Noah did, like Abraham did when God said, move. He had to pack up all these, million? How many people were there? Lots of people had to pack up and get ready to go. They had to do the practical. They had to get rid of all their extra stuff. They had to pack it all. You know what I'm saying? When God says move, when he said to us we're going to be moving from one house to another, I didn't wait to have a house to start going through my stuff. I started doing the practical, waiting for the promise. 2 years, by the way. 2 years from when he told us to when we moved. It wasn't next week, because we have to prepare. There is a practical thing we need to do to get to the next place. You want a new job? You're not happy where you are? God's promised you a new job, or you're believing for a new job. You're having faith for a new job. What do you do? Do you sit and wait for that job to come knocking on your door? Some people do, and it has happened. I know it does occasionally. But most people need to prepare. Is it in your field? Maybe not. Maybe it's another field. So do I need education? Start getting educated. Get your resume together. Start networking with people. There are things you need to do. I've always lived, my husband and I have always lived our life of, we believe God's saying do this. So we start moving towards it. We start making the preparation to do this. We think there's an opportunity God's put in our path. We start moving towards that opportunity, but always surrendered. Always saying, God, if this is not you, we are submitted to you changing the plan. And many times he has. Many times what we thought was God ended up not being God, and it's okay. So he closed that door, and we changed our direction. Before we were called to Jersey City to move here, we had seen a house. Someone we knew was selling their house in Karlstadt, a different house than we were living in. And she wanted so badly for us to buy her house. It was extended family. And I was like, oh, this house is cool. We should do this. It's beautiful. It was built by someone we knew. And so we decided to put our house on the market because that would be the next step. You got to sell what you have to buy what you want. And the house was on the market for 2 months. Not one person called us for our house in 2 months. And she was pushing us because she wanted to move out of that house. She was older, in her 80s, and she wanted to get rid of the house. So I'm like, listen, we are not doing anything until our house sells. So if you need to sell it to someone else, please do that. And she ended up doing that. No one ever called us for our house. Because God had a different plan. His plan was we move to Jersey City. That would have been a hiccup if we had gone forward. I think he could have gotten around it. I know he could have, but it would have been a hiccup. When we found a house in Jersey City and put our house on the market, guess what? The first person in 1 week that came to see it gave us our asking price. To me, that's the open door. The other one was the closed door. I'm just giving you some practical examples. So God's saying, do the practical. Do the practical of what you're believing for, of what he's promised you. Because he wants our faith to have feet and be in action, not sitting back waiting. We could sit back and wait our whole life and miss everything. I know people that have done that. And they're in their 50s and 60s now, and they've never been married because the blue angel didn't show up to tell them this is the one. Marriage takes faith. Having children takes faith, doesn't it? We're bringing children. God says, be fruitful, multiply. But God, you see the world. Do you really want us to bring more children into this world? Yes, because more of your children will make a better world. But we have to have faith for that, because then we have to send them to school and we have to, you know, let them get married. It's hard. So I'm going to end there. I know it's kind of a weird place, but we're going to make some declarations, some faith declarations. And I pray and hope that we are sending you out of here today. I know I, in studying for this, have had my faith increased in areas I need my faith increased. Do you want to do the declarations, John? Okay, good.
I just want to say a couple of things quickly first. I know we heard a lot about the walls that the Israelites walked around. Those walls were not, you know, what we think about walls. The walls, not only were they very high, but they were very wide because chariots, they used to ride chariots around them. Some maybe 20, 30 feet wide, okay? So my dad gave me this book a while ago, and it was about this man who was visited by angels. And the angels said to him, you can ask us any question you want. So, of course, he asked them a lot of different things. But then he said, you know, the walls that came down. I mean, if, you know, something that big came down, it'd be like a pile of rubble. How did the people get over him? And the angel told him, we don't have the capacity to understand and believe what God can do. If we sat around all day long and said, this is the way God's going to solve something, we don't have the capacity. Anyway, the angel said, we pushed the wall into the ground, and they just stepped over it. So that just amazed me. But I just wanted to read one more thing about faith, since Sue was talking about faith. About a month ago, I woke up and I was thinking about the verse that says we must become like little children. So I started thinking, well, you know, we know how little children are. And then I thought, well, I think about Emmy. One way is they are relentless pursuit of what they want. Emmy will say to me, that's my granddaughter, Emmy, she'll say, Poppy, I want some ice cream. So I'll say, okay, just give me a minute. I want to finish this thing. And she'll say, okay. Then literally like 2 seconds later, she'll say, Poppy, I want some ice cream, like as if she never asked me. And she keeps doing that. And what I'm working on is not, you know, earth-shattering. It's just something I want to get done or need to get done. But she will not stop until I give her the ice cream. So the thing I got from that was that, why does she ask me? Why does she do that? Because she really believes that I can give her what she wants. That's a faith. She don't think about what I have to do. You know, and we gotta be like that. We don't have to worry about, oh, I don't want to bother God because he's got to run the universe and he's got this to do. No, he just, you know, she wants that. Emmy wants that ice cream, and that's it. So anyway, I hope you understood what I was saying. Where are those things? So okay, the four, right? Okay, so there are four. I'll say it a little at a time, and so you guys could repeat after me. I am built on God's foundation. I walk by faith and not by sight.
I walk by faith and not by
sight. I live with outrageous faith.
I live with outrageous faith.
Believing God for the impossible.
Believing God for the impossible.
I declare I walk in increased faith.
I declare I walk in increased faith.
And experience God's faithfulness daily. I am righteous and live by faith.
I